the Agile brand.
Welcome to Season 6 of The Agile Brand, where we discuss marketing technology and customer experience trends, insights, and ideas with enterprise and technology platform leaders. We focus on the people, processes, data, and platforms that make brands successful, scalable, customer-focused, and sustainable. This is what makes an Agile brand. I'm your host, Greg Kilstrom, advising Fortune 1000 brands on MarTech, marketing operations, and CX, best-selling author and speaker. The Agile Brand Podcast is brought to you by Tech Systems, an industry leader in full-stack technology services, talent services, and real-world application. For more information, go to teksystems.com. Before we get started, I wanted to let you know that my latest book, Priority is Action, 7 Principles for Better Strategies, Decisions, and Outcomes, is now available. In it, I give ideas and insights for leaders and teams that need to make meaningful progress on their priorities. After all, our priorities are what we do, not what we say we'd like to do. You can find Priority is Action on Amazon or learn more on my website, gregkilstrom.com. Now let's get on to the show. So we're here at Shop Talk 2024 at the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas, where retailers and the platforms that support them are gathered to talk about reimagining retail for the omnichannel consumer. In the retail world, social media virality blows up brands overnight, but a great supply chain strategy is critical to keeping customers. So much so, 77% of shoppers will write off a brand after experiencing shipping delays, according to Körber Supply Chain Software. Today, we're going to talk about how retailers can keep pace with customer expectations via sophisticated solutions like order management software, or OMS. To help me discuss this topic, I'd like to welcome Craig Moore, VP of Sales at Körber Supply Chain. Craig, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Greg. It's nice to have the opportunity to chat with you.
Yeah, looking forward to talking about this with you. Why don't we get started with you giving a little background on yourself and what you're currently doing?
I'm going into year number 13 here at Körber Supply Chain Software.
Nice, congrats.
Thank you. I've had the opportunity over that last decade plus to watch a lot of the growth of what's become recognized as you mentioned, omnichannel or direct-to-consumer mechanisms, where the expectation of the consumer is instead of meeting a product at a shelf, the product finds their door,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's been a lot of conversation and change in the world of fulfillment and supply chain execution in that time.
Got it.
And I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of companies as they're going through due diligence, trying to figure out how do we do that?
Yeah, great. Well, yeah, so let's dive right in then. So I'm going to start by stating the obvious. Customers don't want to have to worry about logistics when they shop, right? So there's an expectation that we can have pretty much anything we want within 24 hours or even less in some cases. So can you talk about the pressure this puts on retailers and brands to get it right?
I believe that the pressure becomes that there's a variety of options. And from the standpoint of a retailer or somebody who's moving product and wants to connect from a revenue perspective with a customer who has multiple different options to get that same product, are they hitting service level agreements with their customers that exceed their expectations, right? And it becomes a seamless experience, not only in getting it, but also in perhaps even returning it if it's not something that they exactly thought they wanted. So that alone right there brings up a lot of different challenges for organizations today.
Well, do you think most retailers are doing enough to mitigate these issues? And, you know, what are some of the things maybe standing in their way of addressing those?
It's funny that I think the past in many instances stands in the way of the future.
Yeah.
Because the consumer had a trained behavior of, you know, when I was a teenager, you went to the mall.
Right.
Right? Who goes to the mall anymore?
Right.
Is the question we ask ourselves. So the consumer is changing its behavior. And so there's a predictive element to what retailers are chasing right now. How are customers wanting to engage? What are they comfortable with? And it's the swing of not 100% want to go online and buy. Some still want an experience in the store, for example.
Yeah.
If you're a retailer with brick and mortar. Okay, so I still have that. And then the challenges around managing inventory allocations and everything else that comes along with that. In many instances, they're chasing, right? And some have done better than others in putting drawing a hard line saying, this is how we do business. But for up-and-coming brands and others that are chasing that, that maybe don't have a product that would be considered a hot product in the market, but they have, you know, they want to start generating consistent revenue streams, it's a challenge.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, then let's get into, you know, we talked about some of the challenges, let's talk about solutions. You know, customers, as I was saying earlier, you know, they want what they want, when they want it, when, where, how, why, etc. So, you know, how does a, or where does a retailer start? You know, they probably know that they have some of the challenges. They may discover, you know, new challenges based on customer feedback or whatever. But, you know, where does a retailer start that, you know, knows they're experiencing disconnects between those high customer expectations and reality?
I can talk about it from a Kerber supply chain perspective. Kerber supply chain software, I should say, is, you know, number one is, well, I know somebody wanted to buy something because they were standing in line at a cash register, right? Now, I need to see their order online, perhaps, and I need to see it quickly. So you mentioned it at the outset, the order management solution. That's an element of that solution that's within our portfolio. Now that I have the order, now we're starting to talk about that customer's expectations. How long do I have to get that product that they want on its way? And in most instances nowadays, there's, you know, organizations are struggling with being able to do that in a very short time window. We know that there's some service providers that do it in, they're measuring it in minutes and hours, right? When they have a good local presence where they can get somebody a product very quickly. I don't know that that's necessarily realistic for a lot of retailers, but a 24-hour window right now feels like if you can do that, you're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Because if we remember when e-commerce started, everybody thought, yeah, is this a real thing? You know, are people really going to be willing to wait to get their product? In the beginning, they were willing to wait if they were getting a really good price. Now, the expectation has caught up. I want a good price and I want it quickly.
Yeah.
24 hours seems to be a mark. It's going to get less than 24 hours. So I think that's the chase.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like good, fast, and cheap. They want it all, right?
Well,
yeah.
This is what happens,
yeah, right?
Right. Yes.
Right.
I hope you're enjoying the first part of the show, and I want to invite you to check out another podcast from the Agile brand. It's called B2B Agility, and it's hosted by me, Greg Kilstrom. The B2B Agility podcast looks at the factors that drive success in B2B marketing, with a focus on the people, processes, data, and platforms that make B2B brands stand out and thrive in a competitive marketplace. You can find B2B Agility on this podcast platform or wherever you normally listen. Before we get back to the show, I just wanted to remind you to hit the follow or subscribe button on your app to make sure you get notified when new episodes of this show are available. Now let's get back to the show.
So you mentioned your OMS or order management software that falls into you know, what your platform does. You talked a little bit about it, but why don't you go into, for those a little less familiar, you know, what is the role of an OMS and, you know, where does it kind of fit in the typical infrastructure?
So as you start to get more, as you defined it in the beginning of our conversation, omni-channel streams, right? You've got orders coming in from a lot of different places. Order management fundamentally helps to begin to consolidate your order taking mechanisms. Where are my orders flowing in from? Making sure that you have a really good consolidation of those orders and visibility to them, because the next step is in the fulfillment component to that. But hey, help me make sure I've got my pool of orders all together. And with retailers, they're also having to make decisions about how do I fulfill that from where? Could be at a store, could be a buy online, pick up in store process. I had something listed on my website. Where was I listing that from? What's the location of that inventory? An order management system helps to start tie that together.
Great. What type of brands do you work with? And, you know, how is Kerber different from some of those competitors?
There's a legacy to Kerber supply chain software that we've been doing this for more than 30 years. So we work with all different types of organizations. And I think fundamentally, when you start to peel it back and you come into the mechanisms around fulfillment, we talked about our OMS, but we also do work with a lot of customers in warehouse management software. So we understand those fundamental pieces of what it takes to get something picked, packed, and shipped, right? That's a really important process in, hey, somebody just bought this, they want it. You got to pick it, you got to pack it, you ship it. We get that. having the order management is that first view into that, okay, we have an order. Now I've got to fulfill that order, and we provide the mechanism to do that as well.
Great. So let's, we're here at Shop Talk. There's a lot of talk about, the future and looking forward a bit. So, let's look forward a few months or maybe even years. What does the next 2 to 3 years of OMS look like? And, what kind of implications will this have on brands?
I think there's going to continue to be that need for order management in the communication with the customer. Returns would be a good example, right? I bought something, but I don't want it. As a retailer, what's my customer service mechanism to have good communication with the customer so that they can have a good returns process? Whatever my return policy is, you mentioned at the outset, you quoted something from us where a bad experience is really turning a consumer away from a brand. So that's really important part of the discussion is not only taking the order, but making sure that the order is complete. And it's not complete if the client or the customer says, yeah, I don't want it. It's not my size, or it doesn't fit, or it's not what it looked like on the website. I want to send it back. Okay, well, how are we doing in that regard? And I think looking forward, we know how it was certainly convenient for retailer when somebody was willing to jump in their car, go to the store, have those interactions. Now we have to figure out how to have those interactions without the face-to-face communication with the customer service desk, maybe a customer service call center, and processing that customer in a way that they feel heard.
So you touched a little bit on the customer aspect, but I want to focus on that too. Just again, thinking future, not too far out, but a couple of years down the road, where do you see customer behavior and preference kind of trending? How might the end customer experience look different as these brands get more sophisticated in the ways you're describing?
Well, I think it's fundamentally going to come down to speed.
Yeah.
We already talked about the 24-hour.
Right.
A couple of years from now, somebody's going to say 24 hours? That's unacceptable.
Right.
Right? I need that now.
Yeah.
And you're already starting to see more and more and more of that in the world of grocery, for example. I got to make dinner tonight.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I got my shopping list. I want to place my grocery order, and I want to have that experience of, I think grocery is a really good use case for a lot of that because, not everybody's is going to go full online. A lot of people still like to go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
They like to check the bananas for themselves. Others would say, you know what? I like the time back in my life when I can just place my order and have it delivered. And it's there for me in time to make dinner tonight or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
That missing ingredient. Run to the neighbor, can I borrow some sugar?
Right.
Well, how about if you can have the same experience, but it's coming from a grocery retailer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's that expectation of quicker.
Yeah.
And more seamless that way.
Nice. Well, Craig, thanks so much for joining. One last question before we wrap up here. So, events like Shop Talk give both retailers and platforms like Kerber a great chance to connect and share ideas. What's one idea or insight you've gained so far from the show?
In our industry, there's a lot of conversation that takes place around the challenges of labor, a workforce that's helping retailers to actually take orders, fulfill orders, right, meet customer expectations. There's always buzz around artificial intelligence and new forms of automation, autonomous mobile robotics, whatnot. I think it's also looking forward over the next couple of years, it's unavoidable that the human is still a very important part of this process. What are we going to do to augment the performance of the human resources, whether that's at a brick and mortar location or in a warehouse, to give them the technology components they need to excel in meeting customer service levels?
Yeah.
And not overlooking, some of these new ideas are great, but let's not forget, humans manage exceptions better than anything else.
Right.
Right? So they're quite nimble. Let's give them the tools they need to, have the most power they can.
Yeah, I love that. To me, that's a win-win. That's great. Well, again, I'd like to thank Craig Moore, VP of Sales at Kerber Supply Chain, for joining the show. You can learn more about Craig and Kerber Supply Chain by following the links in the show notes.
Thanks again for listening to The Agile Brand, brought to you by Tech Systems. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to subscribe and leave us a rating so that others can find the show more easily. You can access more episodes of the show at www.gregkilstrom.com. That's GREGKIHLSTROM.com. While you're there, check out my series of best-selling Agile brand guides covering a wide variety of marketing technology topics, or you can search for Greg Kilstrom on Amazon. The Agile brand is produced by Missing Link, a Latina-owned, strategy-driven, creatively-fueled production co-op. From ideation to creation, they craft human connections through intelligent, engaging, and informative content. Until next time, stay agile.
The Agile brand.